Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanti Nilayam, giving you live broadcast in the Asia stream of Radio Sai every Thursday. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, it's now time for us to get back to the studios for the first session of this evening part of the Thursday Live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new session of the Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. A couple of days back, the grand and auspicious Dasara celebrations have come to an end. The entire place of Prashanti Nilayam was reverberating with Vedic chants. The divine vibrations of the Divine Mother were all around the place. Every devotee, every student, every teacher was charged with the love and grace of Bhagwan as Divine Mother. So as we remember all these, as Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnani Yajna came to a close, a thought came to us. How did all those yajnas began? What made us so close to Swami by chanting the Vedas? How did all this begin? These were some of the questions that came across our mind. As Team Radio Sai was discussing about all this, we thought, as a part of this Vedam tutor, why not go into the history of the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnani Yajna? How the Vedic chanting, Vedic learning in Prashanti Nilayam began, and the various mantras that we are chanting regularly in the divine presence of Swami, the inner significance, the meaning of those Vedic mantras. As Swami told, yes, if you chant mantras with bhava, that itself is enough for me to bless you and shower you with my love. But as students, we need to go to the next level and we need to go to the next class. So to take you across this learning, we all have introduced, have thought of a beautiful title for the explanation, the expression and the experience of this Vedam learning as Veda Jignasa. And with me is Brother Bhargav from the ad block. Sairam, brother.
Sairam, Ganesh brother, Sairam.
It's really a blessing for all of us to be a part of the Vedam group in Prashanti Nilayam.
Yes. So, as you were just talking and giving this introduction, I was just thinking that when you said that how it all started, thinking about how it all started. So, I feel the first seed was sown by Bhagwan when he started the Veda Pathshala.
Yes.
And I don't know if there's one thing which no one can miss when you come to Prashanti Nilayam. The first time, whenever you come, whenever you enter Prashanti Nilayam, you cross the Vidyagiri Arch. And when you come to the bus stand, you come by any conveyance. The first thing which you see is there is a board which says Prashanti Nilayam Pattanavatika, means Prashanti Nilayam
Township.
Township. Behind that, there is one edifice which always stands testimony to what Swami had started. And that is what we call now as a Pathshala block.
Pathshala.
So when I was a student, I used to remember, another 10, 15 years back, so I used to remember, what is this Pathshala block, meaning of this Pathshala block? Because I see a lot of devotees, very, very old devotees staying there. But we never understood the meaning of the word Pathshala block. Mm-hmm. Then when we tried to delve a little deeper, we found that this is actually the block where Swami had started the Ved Pathshala in the beginning. I think in 1962. Yeah. So, and first thing which I felt was that the first thing, the first edifice which you encounter when you enter the Prashanti Nilayam, the holy place of Puttaparthi and Prashanti Nilayam, is this Veda Pathshala. So, anything about the Veda Pathshala, can you just throw some light on
this? There's a beautiful history, Bhargav, about the Veda Pathshala, the emergence, the evolution of the Veda Pathshala.
Okay.
It was during the first Vedapurusha Saptaha Jnana Yajna that was conducted in Prashantalayam with the grace of Bhagwan. One of the most ardent devotees of Swami from East Godavari, Dr. Gotiti Saraswatamma, as per her prayers, Swami, she wanted actually to conduct a this Vedapurusha Jnana Yajnam, some yajnam, some sort of yajnam, involving all the Vedic scholars in and around East Godavari district of Andhra Pradesh.
Andhra Pradesh, okay.
Because that is the hub of all Vedic learning. Vedic learning. So then she writes a letter to Swami. Swami writes back to her that saying that your intention is very, very good. It's very noble.
Yeah.
But I have a small suggestion. As Swami beautifully puts it, he never forces anything on anyone.
Anyone, yes.
It's left to our choice. Then Swami writes back to her saying, see, if you conduct this yajnam in East Godavari, people from Andhra, people from across these two districts, East Godavari,
yeah,
nearby districts, only those people will be able to attend. If you conduct the same yajnam in Prashantalayam, the entire world will witness the grandeur of that.
It's a global village.
So then she is very inspired, and with the with her influence, she gathers all the Vedic scholars, of I think 40 of them, headed by Sri Uppulur Ganapati Shastri,
a great Vedic scholar,
and an ardent devotee of Swami, to come to Prashantalayam and conduct this beautiful yajnam. Then, as history goes, and they come, they get conquered, and the entire team of Vedic scholars become Swami's devotees. And then,
we'll come back to the Veda Parshara, because when you told about Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam, one question was always, which was always used to come to my mind, and I think many of the devotees who see, they will also feel this. If you have actually witnessed it, anyone who has witnessed it, you see there's a like a medley of events happening. If you see the stage on any one of these days, or 7 days, it happens, a saptaha, 7 days, from the extreme right, if you're sitting and facing the stage, from the extreme right of yours to the extreme left, there'll be so many different groups sitting and doing something. So there's always a curiosity to know what actually happens. Like, what is the things which all these people do, and is what is the significance of what all things what these people are doing? Can you throw some light on this?
I think if we are sitting as devotees,
when
we look at Swami on the stage, so we'll come from the extreme right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to understand what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So extreme right, there is something called Sahasra Lingarchan that happens.
Thousand lingas.
Every day the priest goes to a place where that particular mud is collected
from the anthill.
And 1008 lingas are made every day by him, small lingas, and the entire shape of a lingam is made from that.
Or means every day in those 7 days, he makes 1008 lingas with his own hand.
And then he does Rudrabhishekam and Rudraparayanam to all of them. So that is one aspect that goes on.
What I remember is sometimes even if you go at afternoon 2 o'clock, you see these priests still doing the
worship.
We just do aarti and go off at 9:30. But they still be doing at 2 o'clock.
Yes. The name that is given to that is the Saikata Lingam.
Saikata means sand.
So it is emerged out, it is made out of that sand.
Yeah.
So that's what they call Saikata Lingam. That is one kind of worship that is done.
You mean to say that he makes those 1008 every day with a fresh
anthil
mud or what you would call. You do Abhishekam, then leave it again, and then do it again next day.
Freshly. So that happens for 7 days.
7 days.
And then we come to the next aspect going on. That is the Kunkumarchan.
Okay.
That Kunkumarchan to the Kalasham, which is installed on the first day of the Navaratri festival in the Bhajan Hall.
Yeah, Swami is
to come and bless that. So that, for that, Abhishekam is done with Kunkum and Turmeric.
So that is charged all the 7 days.
Yes, with sacred chants.
And the same thing is sprinkled on all of us on the final day.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Then,
so this, whatever water you're telling, sacred water, this Archana is Sahasra, Lalita Sahasra Archana. Means 1008 names of Lalita Amma you do, the mother Lalita, and then you do Kumkum Archana
yes,
to this Kalasham.
To the Kalasham.
Okay.
And then that water on the final day is done as Prokshanam.
Prokshanam.
To all the
to devotees. Cleanse all
to
the
cleanse
the
all the devotees. So this is the second aspect that goes on. Now we come to the center stage.
Mm.
So when we come to the center stage, we have the Homagundam, where 11 times Rudra Homam
every day, 11 times
Rudram. And then after that...
Yes. But I think we missed one more part, which is before, between the Lalita Sahasranama Archana and the Homam. There are four priests will be sitting.
Four priests who keep chanting the entire Vedic texts.
The whole, I think I heard Yajurveda, full Yajurveda, they chant the whole Yajurveda in 7 days, they finish.
And then the next aspect, which is very, very obviously seen.
But leave aside us, we sit there and chant something, leave aside us, other than that.
Is a very obvious thing that happens is the Surya Namaskara Mantram.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And the Surya Namaskaras that priest, as people would recollect so fondly, the priest used to offer flowers to Swami
himself.
And then do the Namaskar to Swami, Sashtanga Namaskar.
Like Suryanarayana Murthy.
Suryanarayana Murthy. And then take a circumambulate Swami and then go back and continue his prayers. And that is, I think, done with chanting Arunam, then Shauram and Surya Namaskara Mantras.
Arunam means, I think...
worship of the sun god.
So Arunam, actually, whatever we learn, I remember, we have around 130 verses in Arunam.
130 verses.
So if you take Rudram 11 verses, so it's nearly 10 times of Rudram.
Mm.
He chants it every day and does all his circumambulation, his namaskars, and Surya Namaskara Mantra.
Surya Namaskara Mantra. So this is one aspect. And then when we come to the backstage.
Backstage, yes.
The end of the stage. There
if you recollect, there is that big Vishwarupa
idol.
Idol of Bhagavan, Vishnu. Yes.
Then there is Bhagavata Parayanam that is being done.
Continuously.
Then Devi
Bhagavatam.
Devi Bhagavatam. And then Ramayanam.
Valmiki
Ramayanam. These three Parayanas, every day they are going to... They complete.
And they finish in 7 days.
7 days.
Okay.
Parayanam. So these are some of the aspects on the main stage. Now coming on to the left corner.
Extreme left.
We have a set of students who will be always bending their head and doing something.
Some Parayanam.
And then,
orange. Generally they'll be
yes.
Wearing. Yeah.
So those group of students are the ones who were specially blessed by Swami to do Durga Saptashati.
The 700 verses.
700 verses. Every day they do.
Okay. And that's also very, very
so,
special. So they finish that 700 verses every day.
Every day.
Okay.
Every day. So these are some of the main aspects that are continuously going on through the 7 days of the
Vedapusha Saptahajnanam. So if you just see, like you have at one place, you have worship of Shiva.
Mm.
You have this Veda Parayana. You have worship of Devi, you have a Homam, then you have Surya Namaskara Mantra, Sun God, then you have worship of Rama, because it's Valmiki Ramayanam, then you have Krishna because Bhagavatam. And all the Dashavataras, and then you have this Devi Bhagavatam also. Mm. So, in one particular event of 7 days, he has covered every aspect of divinity which we know in Sanatana Dharma.
Yes.
Every aspect.
Mm.
Coming back to what we do, what Vedam group does...
Swami has so lovingly given us the opportunity to chant whatever little we know.
Yes.
So to take part in that grand event itself is a blessing for all of us.
But generally, I think what we do is whatever 7 days we chant as a schedule, I think we just try to cover them. And try to finish Mahanaranam also and Arunam also, whenever time we have.
You know.
So beautiful.
So these are the various aspects that we come across during the Dasara 1 week festival.
Festival, yes.
So now when we come back to whatever has happened, how the Veda Patashala has emerged.
Yes.
During the discourse that Swami gave during the first Veda Purusha Saptajnani Yajnam, Swami had pronounced, he declared his avataric mission as Veda Poshana, Vidvat Poshana, Bhakta Rakshana and Dharma Sthapana.
Yes.
So these are the fourfold aspects of Swami's avatarhood, avataric mission. And Swami told that right now I am going to establish the Veda Patashala with 10 or 12 students who are going to join this.
The first batch.
First batch. So, as it always goes, whenever God proclaims and declares something, always there are some doubting Thomases.
Naysayers, doubting Thomases. Yes, yes.
Then they had a doubt. Swami, with 10 boys, what are you going to achieve? There's nothing that can be achieved with just 10 people.
10 boys, yes.
Then Swami gives a beautiful example of the cabinet. How many ministers are there in the cabinet who run the entire show of the country?
Central government, yes.
Then there are a handful of people. Then Swami told in the same way, with these few students, I'm going to create that revolution of the Vedic literature, Vedic learning in the entire world.
Yeah, we can see it. So many people from different nationalities are learning Vedam now.
Yes. Now, from that stage, Swami has evolved the glory of Vedam in such a elaborate, as Swami, we always tell in our workshops that expansion is love.
Yes.
Swami loves to share, care, and then expand.
Expand, yes.
As we often, very, very, very often we are told by Swami the mantram, Sahanavavatu, Sahanobhunaktu, Sahavirjankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So, we all have come to learn together, to understand together.
Grow together.
To grow together.
Yes.
So, this is what Swami wanted us to had a back of his mind
when he started his Vedic mission. So one more question, which, like, one thing is, as you told, Veda Pakshala, then you have this Veda Purushasaptaha Gyanagyam, and one more aspect which was a very, like, a milestone, it's like a very important decision which was taken by Bhagwan, was introduction of Vedam in Mandir. Which was, for earlier, if you remember, we used to only get chances when Swami will give a discourse. Before the discourse, boys will come ready and then they chant, we call invocatory Vedam, and then Swami will start his discourse. But this formal chanting in Mandir for a particular period of time, 1 hour, half an hour, whenever, 1.5 hours, whenever Swami used to sit. So how that started?
Actually, it's all a very interesting story, because as Bhargav you have told, that previously we used to chant only when occasions were there.
Yes.
When Swami used to give discourse, or Swami used to come for any inauguration, or during Swami's visit.
Yes, yes.
So people used to hold the Purna Kumbham and take Swami along with the Vedic chanting. And for all our elders, senior brothers like Vednarayan sir, Praveena sir, Ravi Kumar sir, all these people were very fortunate to learn directly from Brahmashri Kamavadhani garu. And with all grace and infinite love of Swami, they passed on this Vedic learning to all of us.
All of us.
So, and Swami had thought, now it's time to switch over to the next gear. And then 2003, I very clearly remember when we were studying in our MSc, we received a message from Swami that all the boys should start learning, who all chant Vedam, should sit in the front.
Okay.
So Swami was inquiring about the Vedam chanting of the boys, and there was a VC's conference that was held during that period.
Vice Chancellor's conference.
I think, if I correctly remember, it is somewhere around in the month of September.
Okay.
We were all asked to chant whatever we know, because as a loving mother, Swami always wants to display the talents and the capabilities of her children to the entire world.
Yes.
And when those VC's conference was held, Swami told all the boys to start chanting. So Swami used to come and sit for after the darshan. Swami used to come and sit in the portico and make us all chant. I very vividly remember chanting for hours together.
In front of Swami.
It's not 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or the 1 hour that we are chanting now.
No.
It was 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and then Swami used to continuously increase the pitch.
Yes.
Whenever the primary school children were there, Swami used to specifically ask, do swasti chanting.
Means they will chant once, they will chant one verse, one line, you will chant one line.
Yes. And whenever we used to miss Shruti, Swami used to make slight indications that he was not happy with the Shruti.
Yes.
And then Swami used to often tell us, now chant Sri Suktam, now chant Purusha Suktam. And that was how he had trained all of us to...
And many times, I think when you do Purusha Suktam, some few lines like Vedaha, Metam, Purusham, Mahantam, Adityavarnam, Swami used to chant with us.
Chant with us.
He used to chant, repeat those lines with us.
Yes.
And I think there are days when Swami has to know no bhajans. Let the Vedam going, chanting. Keep going. So many times we used to chant so much and then after that suddenly Swami will say one bhajan and aarti. So that much importance is to give to Vedam that time.
Yes. We need to make a small observation, very clear observation. Whenever Swami initiates something or whenever Swami starts something, a gardener, when he sows a seed, until the sapling comes up to proper stage, he nurtures it with so much love, so much care, so much attention. Mm. So that was what Swami had also done. From 2003 onwards, till I think around 2008, if I am not wrong, 2008, around that time, the Sahasra Chandra Darshanam
yes.
was conducted for yes. Swami. During that time, Swami had asked the boys to chant Vedam every day.
And no, I think that's the fourth milestone. Because he made Rudram compulsory, Rudram compulsory for everyone to chant. Mm. And I remember many times our senior professors, they say, oh, what I know, I don't want to. Swami used to call them, make them sit in front of him, tell, yes, have you learnt?
Yes.
Are you chanting or not?
Irrespective of their age, irrespective of their position, everyone had to learn Vedam. And there were specific incidents where some boys were made to sit behind because they did not know to chant Vedam
properly
when Swami was coming for darshan.
Mm.
Swami used to send such specific and strict instructions to all the boys to learn.
Yeah.
So that was the importance and the impetus that Swami had given. And we clearly remember Swami sitting in the Sai Kulwanth hall as we were all learning Rudram.
Yes.
For the Sahasra Chandra Darshanam.
Yes, he used to teach.
Every Anuvaka, all the 11 Anuvakas, Swami was physically present there. And the two or three students who were selected to teach the entire gathering of devotees who came to the Kulwanth Hall. And that was how Swami launched the
Vedic mission.
Yes. And now when we see every group of devotees that come to Prashantalayam across the globe, people are learning Vedam.
They are conversant. Many of them chant very well.
Yes.
And one more interesting thing, if you remember, chanting Vedam, that time, one thing was that Swami will look at us and see us. Second thing was getting that orange dhoti from him. That was a very, very special feeling, if you remember.
Because a few experiences of students, Swami used to specifically test the students.
Okay, you chant. You tell me how it.
Because some of the juniors who were new to the system didn't know much of Vedam. Only the first part of Rudram we learnt during the entire first year.
The first Anuvaka.
First Anuvaka. Mm. And then Swami in all his grace, no? He used to tell, okay, you chant the first few lines. And with all his grace, he used to give the dhoti. That was his love. Because that was the way Swami motivated and he had encouraged us to learn Vedam.
Learn Vedam, yes.
And whenever we used to learn something new, we used to offer it to Swami.
Yes.
And we used to take his permission, chant it in mandir in front of him. And those were some of the beautiful moments. And the way we now see the Vedic mission growing like a huge banyan tree.
Yes.
And it all started way back in 1962. And the personal effort, the struggle, and the time and energy that Swami had spent
on it, is
on it was enormous.
Yes. Mm.
And whenever we chant Om, we should be able to recollect the entire effort of Swami so that we give our best every time we chant.
Yes, correct. Yeah, and then this is such a beautiful thing to discuss this. Actually, it's a very nice way actually to start this series to Veda Jigyasa. The series starting it with understanding and like trying to enjoy those experiences which Swami had given all of us. So maybe let us take it as an endeavor, and then we request our listeners to have an active participation in this.
Yes.
And then please send your insights, your queries, your suggestions, how to make it successful.
Yeah.
How
you
to make
can,
it
send across your feedback, your suggestions and your queries to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp your feedback and your queries to 9393-258-258. In the coming classes, we would...
What we were thinking is we'll... because there are so many ways we go wrong in chanting Vedam. So, in the few beginning episodes, let us take up this topic of how actually to not chant and how actually to chant. There are so many ways where we go wrong. So, we were thinking we'll take up those very basic shlokas or which actually give instructions how to chant and those general common mistakes which all of us do and then how to correct them. So, once we go through this and then we were thinking that why not delve a little deeper into the science of Veda, the language Sanskrit, how scientific it is, and chanting this, how it benefits us.
Yes.
Because when we chant, that's why we call in Sanskrit, all these alphabets are called aksharas.
Aksharas
means something which is indivisible. It cannot be, kshara is something,
nakshara,
something which is not divisible. So everything in itself is complete, purnatvam. So what we were thinking is, when we delve a little deeper into this, we'll get so many beautiful insights into this divine language called Sanskrit. Just I remember one more thing when we are just discussing. Once Praveena sir, one of our teachers who teaches Vedam, once he was... he interacted with Swami, and Swami, he had that habit of beautifully writing some nice small verses, compose and give it to Swami. And then once he gave it to Swami, and then he just asked Swami about Sanskrit. So I remember Swami told him, Sanskritame na shvasamo, means Sanskrit is like my breath. So Sanskrit is something which is a breath of God. So we felt that let us delve a little deeper into this beautiful language of Sanskrit, so that we can get little understanding and then start taking up this Vedam. And it's a long journey.
Yes.
So,
and we request all the listeners to be a part and come along with us.
Yeah, because we can't do it alone. We are all co-travelers.
Share the
joy of the journey, and then be a co-travelers, and let us grow together. Because as Swami says, as Veda say, Vedo vai, Ananto vai Veda.
Yeah.
It is something which is endless. It is something which doesn't have a beginning or end. So to even delve little deeper and get even a drop of that ocean, we all should do a combined effort.
Yes. So with this, we come to an end to the first episode of Veda Jignasa. And it's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live, the Bhajan Tutor by Brother Pishu. Sai Ram, happy listening. And once again to remind you, please do write your feedback, your queries and your new ideas to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp your ideas, feedback and queries to 9393-258-258. Sai Ram, happy listening.